Let's get it on. Welcome to the best podcast in the world. Welcome to the Strength and Skills Podcast. Here's your host, Nick Tibuzek, together with the best co-host, Dennis Piccolo.
Hello, everyone.
And we have another guest, the one and only, the Austrian Beast.
The Kampf.
Combat Smurf.
It is. Can we say that in English? Iris. Usually we call her Iris.
Yeah, you can say my English name.
We do it like Iris. Iris from Iron, because she's so hard like iron.
She's a,
she's a freestyle athlete. Also training lots of statics, and I saw her doing some weighted stuff recently, and I enjoyed to see that. You're also competing in competitions?
Yes, I had two competitions in like before Christmas, one at the end of November, which was in the Netherlands, and another one in Sweden. 2 weeks later, it was a little bit close and destroyed my progress a little bit. But it was a lot of fun and I got to know many people.
That's perfect. So, Iris, I think you should tell us a little bit about you, as probably nobody knows who the fuck you are and what you are doing. So, let us know a little bit about you. How long are you training? How old are you? All these things all the people ask you on Instagram all day long.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Yes, I'm Iris, I'm 22 years old and I'm training calisthenics now for a bit more than 2.5 years. I think in May it's gonna be 3 years.
Yeah,
I focus mainly on freestyle calisthenics. Define it as you want to. For me, it's statics and dynamics. But main focus on statics,
right?
Because
now,
yeah, I think it's easier to like work with a proper plan in that case, and dynamics is a lot of playing around, which I don't have a lot of time for as I'm also studying and working for World of Bar Heroes, for those who know the organization.
The best organization in the world.
Oh yes. So yeah, that's basically what I do most of the time. So a mixture of training, studying and working.
But it's not only that you just a little bit of, I'm a student and I like to train a little bit. You're pretty strong.
Yeah, I would say it's quite okay.
So I've seen some stuff of you, so I think that's pretty interesting for those who will listen. You are able to hold a front lever. I don't know many girls who are able to hold that.
Well, it depends a little bit on the day.
I have to admit that.
Like, I can hold a full front lever if I had enough break before. And currently I'm having a really hard time with it as my back is giving me quite a lot of struggles.
Okay.
I do not yet know what it is, but I feel it basically every training and that sucks a little bit. But we're gonna fix that, I think, right?
We are.
Oh yeah, and
we
totally forgot to say that. Dennis, the co-host, is my coach. So yeah, and he changed quite a lot in my training, which I'm very happy about.
This is some stuff we would like to talk about today.
Yes.
For the listener, I do know some stuff about you. So you have been a gymnast for quite a time.
13 years, but not professional.
Yeah, so you at least you know a little bit of how to move the body.
Yeah, I would say I have quite a basic understanding of my body. As I've been doing gymnastics, dancing, and also climbing for a while. So a lot in that direction that fits very well with calisthenics as well. Even if you look at bar dances and stuff like that, you can reuse that kind of work that I did in the past.
Definitely. But for the last 2.5 years, I think you made massive progress in that time. I mean,
it was an up and down. I would say, actually, it changed when I started training with you, Dennis.
Yeah. I remember the first time I met you was in Esterházy Park, if I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
And Achim and I were doing some static moves, and Iris thought it was super cool.
I got so stoked by it.
Yeah, and she said, oh, I want to try too and go too. And then she, like, you were super quick and learning a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And, yeah, then you can keep going.
Like, yeah, there. It was actually crazy because I had just, like, when I was training with you guys back then in the park, I think it was, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks of calisthenics. And I only started to drop more into it because the doctors told me that my foot injury won't heal in the next half year. So I was like, okay, I gotta find an alternative.
Up above your ears.
Yes, exactly. And then I think I'm actually, I'm not 100% sure about it, but I haven't met any other girl before me in Austria that was doing freestyle calisthenics. So I believe I'm actually the first one who got really started with that seriously. And
yep.
I was at the tryout first at Team Alphaba, my team. And then a few weeks later, I met you guys. And I first said to myself, I want to focus on dynamics, because I found it really interesting, like that different movement compared to gymnastics. And to be honest, I really hated the high bar in gymnastics. When I stopped gymnastics, I told to myself, I'm never going to touch that thing again. Look at me now. This is where I ended. And then, yeah, I saw you guys, and I saw a planche the first time in real life in my life. So, and I saw that, and I was like, okay, I want to learn that. And I remember everybody telling me, oh, there's no girl in the world that can do this, except for the, what was the name for, Antonella?
Klagici, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, there were a few, but
yeah.
They were, like,
very rare.
Gymnastic.
Yeah.
Very
yeah,
rare.
Exactly.
Rare, yeah.
So I saw it, and I was like, holy shit, this looks so cool. I want to be able to do that, and then I started. It was incredible. Like, if I look now at the videos, it's hilarious. Like, I basically skipped leans, which is like, if I would see a beginner doing that now, I would punish him. Like, this is so an absolute no-go, actually. So
you did actually what I think most of the people just do all the time.
Stupid attempt.
Try and error.
Yeah, and in the end, it fucked me up, actually. I played that game for quite a while, and I remember, like, my foot healed then somewhat, so I could start with dynamics again. Then I had a different injury again. I was going from one injury to the next. It got a little bit better. When was that? I don't know, after 1.5 years, maybe?
Yeah.
And, no, earlier. After 1 year? I don't know. It got a little bit better, and then I started understanding the girl's flange, as I like to name it. So for those who don't know what a girl's flange is, basically your ass is super high up and you straddle very widely.
Yeah.
So yeah, very, very different technique actually, but in the girl's scene, it's often called the flange.
Yeah.
Which I find wrong, but yeah. So where was I?
Injuries.
Oh yeah. And then I discovered that how like that girl's flange kind of works, and then I trained it so much that my wrists got really bad.
Ah, shit.
And I just developed an overstraining syndrome.
Yeah.
And I had like 2 weeks of break that the doctor ordered me to do. And then I contacted you.
Yeah.
And since then, like, my whole training has changed completely. I tried to really, for me, the biggest changes was to actually move away from that ego-driven workout and focus more on real skills and real progress, and also showing that on Instagram, for example. I like showing the things I do and not only the cool shit that all the kids in the park do, because as I already named it, it's shit.
It is. It's okay. We have this explicit thing on Spotify, so
yeah,
we are safe. We can say as many bad words as we want to.
Yeah.
It was very interesting to see like how you evolved. Like I remember it, the first time we met to talk about the training.
Yeah.
And we met at this gym actually, mm-hmm. I think, and looked over technique, over everything, went through one and the other movement, and then you started, and at the beginning you were like, okay, yeah, like you needed to hold yourself back to not do more
completely.
All the time, because it was way less than she was used to, like I think maybe a third of what she was. Yeah.
It was actually really funny because when I started training with you, I suddenly trained less hours,
mm-hmm.
but these more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
this was really interesting because my progress was so much more than I was used to,
mm-hmm.
although I was doing less. So I was actually saving time, which was good also for my studies, because my studies improved also a lot at that point.
Yeah, because you
were
able to learn more.
Yeah, it was really funny. Yeah. That was a good decision, and since then it's actually been going pretty much up all the time. I feel like the competitions hit a little bit a ditch in my. I think you always see it in my.
Yeah, it's like when Iris said like I want to prepare for competitions. With freestyle competitions, the problem is you have a lot of dynamics,
yes.
Movements in them. And you can't really calculate them into the volume.
Yeah.
Like, it's super, super hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you fall wrong once or twice. And especially if you haven't mastered certain skills, but you want to bring them to the competition because, like, for example, the full front lever, I don't let Iris do the front.
No.
Like, I don't. I think she tried it for the first time. Like, she didn't do it for ages, and she tried for the first time in summer. Was
I held it 3 seconds.
Yeah,
I
one of
know
the
how.
Best front levers she did.
I think that was this
yeah.
epic picture.
Yeah, that
yeah.
picture
yeah,
that
picture.
Every page shared
yeah.
suddenly.
Exactly. And then I told her, we need to go back to our training. I know it's nice and it's the
that
thing you
so
want.
That was so hard.
But you need to go back. And in competition season, of course, in the routines, you build in the full front lever. And having, like, if you haven't mastered the skills and have a combo training, it's extremely straining. Like, it's extremely straining just like that. I know people just train like that all the time, but in fact, they usually get hurt. And on the other time, like, if you haven't mastered the skills yet, it's, like, an addition to that. And I think, yeah, then, Iris, I think you started feeling a bit, you're back in that period.
Yeah, I don't actually know why it really started.
Yeah.
It started with the dragon flanks,
yeah,
I remember
yeah.
that, and then, like, now, also today, my training,
yeah.
be prepared for my videos, they're really not good. I was so disappointed today, because I was training before, I really had troubles holding just a normal one leg advanced tucked, which
yeah.
is normally, like, if I look back in beginning of November or October, it was so easy to hold it. Like, I was just wanting more and more seconds because it felt so easy. And today I had struggles after 5 seconds, which was like...
Yeah.
It's interesting to see how, like, a very intense time can have enormous effects even, like, months after.
Yes.
Because you started training again, we fixed some technique again, like that gets lost during competition season. If
planche.
You, yeah, for example, planche.
Best example.
She used to do girl planche for the competitions, of course. And
it gave me a lot of points.
Yeah, exactly.
I do understand that.
I used it as a weapon in my combos. But.
And relearning the right way to planche,
yeah.
Say so, it takes time again. But.
Yeah. Would
yeah.
you say there was a transfer effect from the usual planche training, like Dennis wants you to do it, to into the girls' planche?
Definitely. I would say in the past I really lost my scapula always,
yeah.
but that didn't really happen that much anymore. And in general, I could just hold it longer.
Yeah.
Like in Sweden at the final, I don't know if I had it 3 seconds, but it was a clear hold at least. And that was a big achievement for me. It was also made me really proud because afterwards Daniel Slysons, who was judging, came to me and said he hasn't seen a planche girl like that. A girl planching like that very often.
Yeah.
And that it's really good stuff. What you're doing with me. So that was amazing feedback. Also for my front lever.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because like the girls I know, they always ask me, oh, how often do you train straddle planches? I like never. I just train advanced tucked planches and
yeah.
At the like when I do a show or a competition. I do it, but I don't want to do it too often because otherwise I'm going to learn, like forget the new technique I'm just learning, which is so much harder.
Yeah.
And I mean, I want to hold a full planche one day, so I don't want to fuck it up, you know?
I like that. And this is also, I think, one of the big things why you are so successful in what you're doing, as I usually don't see any girls progressing that fast. Definitely a thing about your programming, Dennis, but I also think what always comes together in that area, I see that with senior too a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If those athletes who are really focused in their mind and really want the stuff, get the right person to push them in the right direction, this is just a combination that leads to loads of tears of the enemies.
Yeah, it's I think I really needed the direction. It was something that like in the beginning when I started calisthenics, I really liked that I could decide what I do, but as I got to the point where, you know, like you get a lot of input from Instagram.
Yeah.
So what, I don't know if it's like that in the weighted scene as well, but
same
with freestyle calisthenics, you post your stuff and then you write things like, any tips, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then random people answer you. And you know that phenomenon in calisthenics is that everybody believes they are heroes and everybody believes they know how it works and haven't written in their bios, oh, professional coach.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, they have no clue about, like, not all of them, but many of them that answer on the stories have actually no clue about the movements.
Yeah.
They might be really good athletes, and I'm not gonna say anything against it, and I really admire these people for what they are able to do.
Yeah.
But a good athlete is not necessarily a good coach. Same goes for judging.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I see competitions hiring or taking very good athletes as judges, but in fact they are not good judges because they're not attentive or whatever, you know.
They don't have
the eye. The people need to do what they're good at, and I think that's a big problem in calisthenics. And when I was training without Dennis back in the past, it was always like I just used the feedback that people gave me, and now when I look at it. What they told me, it's just very, very different to what I get taught now.
Yeah.
So I think this is something very important in calisthenics. There are a lot of tips moving around in the internet that might be good, but might also be not good.
Yeah.
And also if people ask me about advice, I normally give them very general advice. So for example, if they ask me for things like, any tips for planche? And then they show me a video. And I'm like, okay, like there are like millions of things you could say now.
Yeah.
But the only thing that I tell them is just take your time.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a pro. I'm not a pro coach, not at all. And I don't want to be it. I'm an athlete and I'm a competition organizer, but I'm not a coach. And I don't see myself as somebody who qualifies to say something and pretend it's right.
Mm.
So I'd rather just talk about what I experienced, maybe from a more mental view, because I think that's a very, very big point in the sport, the ego.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And that's not only in the freestyle section.
Yeah.
You see that, I think that's a sports thing.
Yes, definitely. But I think it's particularly interesting in calisthenics because many people have very interesting backgrounds. So, you get my point. They try to compensate something from the past, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
But can really ruin your progress.
Definitely. And the other thing is, in this sport, you have very rare people who really can give you a good advice.
Yes.
And people are not used to get proper advice as they are training in their parks and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's free and everybody has fun and that it's I love that.
Yeah, it's a
but
lot of fun.
It's good to take advice from the right people because
exactly.
It just helps you. And a lot of people tend to just not liking that because usually when you get an advice or feedback of something, they tend to see a mistake you made.
Yeah.
And people hate to get told you made a mistake because nobody likes that.
Nobody likes that, that's true.
People like to hear, yo bro, it's great.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the bro thing.
Oh,
the bro thing
yeah.
in calisthenics is a problem.
Yeah. My favorite.
Everyone is a bro.
But it's, the thing is, yeah, like you said, many people come from different backgrounds and then you have like this super genetically gifted young guy who can do everything and then people turn to him for advice.
How should I do it?
Yeah,
yeah, just do it.
Just do it because
just hold it.
He just did it, you know?
Yeah.
Like he just
this
did
is exactly
it.
What I mean.
Yeah. And he just did it and he has no idea how you get there. He never opened a book, but in his bio it's written, write me for online coaching, you know?
Yeah.
And like I think especially if you learn stuff super quickly, for 99% of the people, it doesn't work like that. There's a long way to go
yeah.
for a planche. It's an extremely hard skill. Of course, in Instagram, people who can do it and can do it well, they shine, you know? You see them. Everyone likes them and they
yeah.
get shared.
But
and
what you don't see on these
yeah.
shining stars
exactly.
is all these not shining stars because
yeah.
they are in the dark. You don't see them.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing with
yeah.
that.
You gotta work your way up.
Yeah, exactly. So, we know where you have been. What would be pretty interesting and hopefully inspiring, where you want to go with training?
So, my big goal right now would be podium for Burning Gate.
Oh shit. Oh shit. So, for everybody who doesn't know, I think...
Which is amazing because for Burning Gate... You can program the rounds very well,
this
and you can actually periodize it.
For everybody who doesn't know what is Burning Gate, you better get a little bit of attention on that, because in my opinion, this is the best freestyle competition right now, next
right
to what? I saved that.
You, that was super close.
because... I can also explain why I do like it.
I
because I'm a big fan
yeah.
of statics,
yeah,
and they give you a lot of points for statics. I'm not such a big fan of dynamics.
I know.
But that's my personal thing.
Don't listen to him.
I'm a big fat guy. I can't jump. That's why I'm just jealous. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Burning Gate would be a real dream.
I'd love to see you there, and I think it could work pretty well.
I think it would be the right competition for me because I'm a real perfectionist. Like,
yeah.
I love working on all the little tiny details. I think it's kind of also has to do something with my gymnastics past.
Definitely.
And I heard that Burning Gate goes a lot into that direction, so I think it would be the right place for me to be.
I've seen some videos from there from, I think, 2019, was it?
Do Adrenalina?
That level was that high.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I love it.
Yeah.
It,
also
it was,
the girls.
Yeah.
That was, for me, the real thing. I mean, everybody's talking about this Carlos Stenos thing
yeah.
from calisthenics.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, for me, I was looking at that and that was just beautiful strength.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
And I think so 2019 was actually way more entertaining to see than last year, last year was super dull because people just had super fixed routines and it got like almost a skills endurance battle.
Oh, okay.
Like you had Victorian plunge, so with impossible dip in between, and then you had like front touch, front pull. And there's people like who can do 10, one next to the other, put always another exercise in. And they changed up the rules a bit in 2019. And it's more colorful, let's say.
I think that's one of the most important things. That's also what we look at World of Warriors. Like,
I think if you could just mix these two types a little bit more into each other, that would bring up a completely crazy thing.
I don't know. The problem is, like, then you have a super strict rule set, and with you have dynamics in Burning Gate 2, and they count a lot of points, but it's easier, especially in Italy, because everyone can do it, to do a Maltese than do a 540.
I think they get born in a Maltese in Italy.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what happens, because it's so normal.
I want to get to that point.
And doing a 540 is way more risky, and it's, I think, the same points, something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
But in a competition, it's actually more risky.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I always say, like, I give huge credits to the people that are good in dynamics at competitions. Because if you're under stress, like, as you are at a competition, things might happen. Like, for me in Sweden, I just had so much energy that I kind of shot myself in the sky and I had no chance to catch the shrimp flip.
The
technique was basically right, but I just did it with so much more energy that I was not ready for it. And I think that's something that happens to so many people in competitions. You see so many of them failing dynamics they are always able to do just because they turn too much, turn too less, just because of that different vibe.
Yeah.
And that's a lot easier with statics, in my opinion.
But I think that's something you can definitely learn to calm yourself a little bit down in a competition. And
Dan Rosenberg is a good example for that.
Yeah.
He's a pro when it comes to that kind of stuff. He competed so much that it's
basically
the same.
He doesn't care, But you see that on the experienced athlete all the time.
Mm.
They don't usually, of course, sometimes they do bail a little bit, but they don't do it very often.
Yeah.
It just happens to those who are not that experienced.
Or if they try something really risky.
Yeah, definitely. Fuck. I'm still remembering this one guy on FIBO, this crazy jump he did, the one who won.
You mean Ikwan?
Yes.
When he did the front flip grab.
That was crazy.
That one is getting pretty normal now.
Yeah, it's super. But if you look
just fucking 9 months later, everybody's done.
That's what happens all the time.
Yeah, if you look at gymnastics though, front flip re-grab is super easy skill. Like if you look at men's or girls' gymnastics, it's something they do all the time.
Yes.
And it's one of the basic skills in the end. And now in calisthenics, like this big thing.
Yeah.
It's
definitely
always like that. It was like 1 year ago, it was the ginger.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually called Ginger, but in calisthenics we decided to call it Ginger. Because why not?
You know what was funny? The 540 over the bar with Koresh, that was an example of a failed.
Yeah, and the official proof that bars flex mats are really good.
Definitely. All right, to see that it's always really growing. I think sometimes when you look into the calisthenics world and you're just a beginner, you always think, I will never get there. I will never achieve this.
Oh, you're pointing out at the girls.
Oh, I do.
I can see that. Yes, that's so true. Especially girls are like that. But I think that's something that generally lies a little bit in the nature of women, that they always underestimate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is also something that I'm really trying to target on my Instagram page. I really try to show girls, I always call it my kind of feminism. I wouldn't call myself a feminist in the political sense.
You're
not at all,
not.
Because this is also something I'm not really quite interested in. to be honest. But if I look at myself in a sport or also work, I only work with guys.
Yeah.
I'm always the, many times, the only girl in the gym. And
yeah.
It's possible. Like,
it definitely
it,
is.
It is totally possible. You gotta know your body. You gotta work maybe a bit harder because you don't have the hormones that guys have. You have, at least not in that amount.
To be honest, when I was starting myself, I was thinking pretty much the same direction.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like, but I want to get there. So
mm-hmm.
I know I have to work for that. And I think that's something lots of, especially beginners, fail at that thing, to just accepting the fact it will take some time.
Yes, definitely. And it's also the number one reason, I think, that causes injuries. And especially with the girls, like I communicate most of the time with girls from the scene. And they most of the time tell me that they have some kind of injury, all of them. Like, no matter with who you talk, they are all injured.
It's so bad that it's like part of the sport almost.
Yes.
Like, being injured in calisthenics is a standard.
Yeah, but I think
and
it's
so
comes
cool.
Yeah.
You, like,
to be taped.
Yeah, it's so cool to be taped and so cool to still train when you're injured.
Because you're so hardcore. No, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Don't quote us on that, please.
You can quote me on that. I'm always the bad guy.
Yeah, so but it's true. It's definitely a big problem. And as you said, like with girls, they always underestimate themselves. It's makes me kind of sad, but I try to encourage as many women as possible
mm-hmm.
To get started, and not only in terms of sports. You know, I have followers from very different
mm-hmm.
areas that have some kind of big goal,
yeah.
but are too scared to, like, really go for it.
Yeah.
And I'm always trying to reach out to these people, because I believe that if you want something, if you take your time, and if you do it in a smart way, not in a hard way, in a smart way. That's the key point, in my opinion. Because if you only go hard, it won't bring you anywhere.
Same, but if you just go smart,
yeah,
probably
same
also
thing.
The same
thing.
So
yes,
yeah.
it's kind of a
work hard enough.
Yeah.
Work
hard
enough. Hard
enough, but in a smart way.
That's it.
Yeah, and that's also when people ask me, how can you work so hard? It's like, I'm not working so hard. I'm working a lot. I'm doing as much as I have to do, but I'm trying to do it in the smartest way
yeah.
that is possible.
Yeah.
And I believe this works for whatever in your life you want to do. And I'm trying to tell this specifically girls, because I believe it seems to me that they more often have the struggle
mm-hmm.
of believing in themselves. Also because you're so often told that you're not good enough. And in as girls generally compare themselves a lot more, I think, than guys.
Yeah.
There's always that envy and kind of, you know what I mean?
It's from what I see from the work with the girls we have, what I see is guys are always like, if you show something to them and they compare themselves to that, they are always like, all right, I'm gonna take that on. Yeah, it's like that. And the girls are like, I'm not sure if I can achieve this.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's the breaking point.
Yes.
If you change your mind from seeing this as something that brings you down and you feel maybe not that comfortable with that.
Yes.
Into a light. Let's get it on. I'm going to show you who I am.
Yeah, it's like, it has, for the guys, it has a more positive connotation.
Most of the time, yes.
And for the girls, it's more, yeah, being envy, and very, very often being envy, it seems to me. Not within the girls that are already doing the sport.
No.
All of them are very, very disciplined, in my opinion, and very strong also in their mindsets, which is why I love spending time with them. Because
yeah.
you really feel how they're growing with you, and I really like the girls' calisthenics scene in general, because it's very supportive. There is not, it's less the ego thing than what I see with the guys.
Yeah.
And yeah, especially that it's so supportive. This is what I like a lot about it, and what makes me really happy. Also, like when you reach out to a girl, I always see it when we're like having an event at World of Bar Heroes, and now with FIBO. You know, the past months we only had the qualification rounds, which were only for the guys, and I was most of the time only communicating with guys. But now for FIBO, we will have girls again.
Yeah.
And it's just a completely different way of how you communicate. It's so much more caring and open, and I love that. It makes me so happy also to see how literally every year the girls are getting stronger. Like, if we really, I'm not gonna spoil anything, but if we can really get these girls to FIBO, who we're in contact with, the girls' level, especially for dynamics, will be insanely high. And this is something that makes me really, really happy, because it kind of pissed me off in the past when everybody always said, oh, well, then it's the girls' turn and you don't have to watch this because it's not that spectacular. I said, fuck off. That's bullshit.
That changed.
That changes a lot. And the girls,
especially during the last 2 years,
are so underestimated. All of them. All and every single one of them.
Yeah. I saw that, I think, the last few videos I saw from girls, I was always blown away, because I don't watch too much of the freestyle stuff, so
I know.
I always see just the big videos.
Yes.
Which are coming down my timeline, and when I look at that, it's probably mostly the really crazy shit people do.
Yeah.
When I look at that, I was like, fuck, I'm getting old. I mean, I was remembering stuff when mostly the girls were doing some bar dance stuff, and Elsid was probably still a hard skill.
R360 was already like a waltz sensation.
Yeah.
It was like 1-360 then hanging for half an hour. Then.
I remember when I learned it, people were like, what? She can do a 360? And I was like, well, just the basic 360.
If you look
doing?
At girls'
yeah.
gymnastics, they do all the crazy stuff guys do.
Yes.
So,
yeah. And
we'll get
this
there.
Changed a lot
yeah.
over the, especially over the last 2 years, I think. I think it comes a little bit from that more girls just do it in generally. And they have the chance now to be better connected right now by social media and stuff.
Yeah, definitely that. But what I also think, it just takes a while. You know, I think one of
definitely.
The first girls that started was Melanie Dreesen, as far as I
yeah.
know. And I'm not 100% sure how many years she's doing calisthenics now. She told me, but I forgot.
I think at least 3 or 4 years.
Nah,
definitely.
I think it's 5 years now. Something like that. And if you look at how long the guys do it, so it's clear that the guys have a little bit of time advantage.
Definitely.
Mm.
But I see the girls are catching up on that, and this makes me super, super happy.
Yeah.
And I'll keep pouring all my heart and soul into that to make this scene,
yeah.
especially for the girls grow, because it's such a beautiful sport, and it really leads you also to a healthier life in general.
Yeah.
Which is very important, because if you look at most girls, like, I don't want to sound mean now, but most of them with 16 or something, they get into a relationship and that's it with sports.
Yeah.
At least this is how I experienced it with many of my friends.
Yeah.
Or it's just a little bit of maybe running and...
Yeah.
Nobody really... They never really think that they could go, like, professional.
Yeah.
They could be so much more... I don't know if it's the same for the guys. I haven't analyzed it that much in that case.
But one big thing that I see a lot from girls is it always is like, oh, she's so strong and so self-confident. But what people mostly don't see is they got this self-confident by getting stronger.
That's true.
That's an amazing experience
yeah.
because we have a lot of girls in our coaching which are... coming from a pretty low level in the beginning, and they went up pretty strong over the time, and you can see how they evolve in their personality in that time a lot. When I look, maybe as a crazy example, when I look at Xenia from 3 years ago, she was definitely a girl, she knew what she wants, but she was definitely not on that being herself where she is right now, 3 years later, being one of the strongest in the world. I mean, that was something that I can see very clear because she's with me all the time.
Of course.
I see that a little bit more than with other people, but I think that that's very underestimated, and I think that's the message that should come out very clear for the girls. Keep on doing, keep on getting stronger, and you will get this self-confidence.
I think it especially makes you mentally stronger.
Yeah.
So for me in the past, I sometimes, like, I never felt insecure because, you know, we live in Austria, so what the hell should happen in Austria? I mean, maybe a dog might bark at you, and I think,
or get cows run you over.
Yeah,
no,
that's actually pretty dangerous.
It's true.
It's true. Yeah. But besides that, like, now I know I'm strong.
Yeah.
And if a guy says something stupid to me, I would never, of course, do something physical, but it kind of feels like I have a shield.
Yeah.
And this makes you feel really good as a woman.
I love that.
You're normally more like in that role where you are the tiny little weak girl, which is kind of sweet in relationships. Sometimes. But in general, like, also with it gives me a lot more self-confidence, definitely.
I love that. That's inspiring. So, would you say girls should train in a different way than boys?
Actually, no. Because I think they should be, like, mentally put on the same level. Because this is exactly how you put them also normally in the same level, which is good. But I think in terms of, like, in physiologic terms, can you say that word, physiologic? I'm not sure.
Physiological.
Yeah, terms. It's what I found pretty interesting, and we just discovered that recently, is how my period affects my training.
Definitely.
And I was never really aware of that. So I think in that sense, you have to make a huge difference between guys and girls, because, like, I don't really feel it mentally. Like, I'm never really affected by my period mentally.
Mm-hmm.
But my results in my trainings are just so much worse. It's really funny, actually.
Yeah. For, like, the first times where it happens, like, you see a week where the RPEs go up through the roof. For no apparent reason, like something wrong. I said, okay.
Yeah.
But it depends on the athlete. Like, I have other girl athletes where you, like, maybe you have one day where they have to take off because it's super bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then the rest of the week, like, for example, it's no problem at all. For some, it's before where it's like mood swingy, like PMS symptoms, something like that. But yeah, it's super, super dependent from person to person.
It's really interesting, like, because when I get on my period, it really gets down my level. And then afterwards, I can peak.
Yeah.
That's perfect, because now you have just an always a deload week.
Yeah, exactly.
a natural one.
We always deload. Like, when it's that time, we deload, and then it goes on again. And before, like, people, like, water retention is high and pool movements get harder too.
Yeah.
For example, you get heavier, 1 to 2 kilos, some people even 3. So it makes a big difference. People don't think about that.
But I think I don't really get heavier.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just the change in the hormones in my case. Because I normally, my weight doesn't change a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as I said, I normally don't feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something that we spotted it, I think, after summer. And now I find it very funny because the last time I haven't even told you that I think I'm getting on my period. You already texted me, I think you're getting on your period because your results are getting worse. And I was like, oh well, yeah. He was right in the end. So I think
I can see in the future.
in that term, it makes a huge difference, and one may not underestimate that.
Yeah.
And also, it's super important that you speak to your coach about that, because I know in some, like in Austria, it's easier, but I think it might be difficult in other countries where this
different
topic
cultures.
Is not that open. And but there, generally, I think training with guys is also a very different chapter. I've never really experienced it, but you hear different things, and
From what I see there is some girls really tend to get a lot of water into their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Senia is a person like that. Mm-hmm. She has sometimes like 4 kg more. That's completely crazy. And that kills the pull game.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
It just leaves the body after a few days. But for these days, pulling is completely crazy. and for some... They are not affected at all. Not at all. Nothing.
Yeah.
And it was like that with Senia over a long time. She was just
for
not
me
affected.
As well. It just changed like in last year. I don't know why.
Same here. She just noticed it a little bit more. Got maybe it's a little bit of changing in the self-awareness or something. I have no idea why. But now she really feels it a lot more. And we have to... check this up in the planning, and this is something
it's super interesting in my opinion. Like I would have never thought it, and I was like, wow, this is so mind-blowing that how
there's
super interesting studies about
really
it too.
I would love to
read
more about that.
This is a topic I think they're doing a lot of research right now about it.
It's also very relevant because I mean, if you look at the sports sector now, female sports are getting more and more important. There's a huge rise in also in the audience of female viewers. So I think this is going to be very important in the future, especially in the Western countries.
Yeah, definitely.
Just think about like Olympic Games or so, how big of a role that can play.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you get
in
the wrong week, Jesus, please don't.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you can plan that.
Yeah.
And if you already know when it's gonna be happen, probably, because there is a time frame where you probably know it's gonna happen. And if you already know that, you can also prep the woman before, because from what I see, it's not just the body that is maybe not capable of doing that much intensity stuff, but I think it's also this, I'm having PMS, I'm not going that hard today. And it happens. It's not always the time, always like that, but sometimes it happens. And especially when it comes to competitions, it shouldn't be like that. And you need to mental prep that.
Yeah.
And that's extremely interesting how to get that into the head of the person.
I always think at your lowest level of strength or at the worst time, you still have to be able to perform sufficiently.
Yeah.
And I think you should always work like that you would be prepared for the worst.
Yeah.
Because then you, if you're lucky, you can totally overperform. But if you're not, you can still perform very well.
Yeah.
And that's super important.
And I think that's a big thing for the mind, especially during competition.
Yeah.
Because if you accepted that it can be a bad day, it always can, and you're okay with that
because you're still gonna perform sufficiently.
You don't pressure yourself that much, and that's so important.
Totally agree.
That's so fucking important. I think that's something it definitely needs to get figured out by every athlete, how to handle this. Yeah. What would you say, looking at a woman? Maybe having two stages. Woman that begins.
Mm-hmm.
What are your top 3 tips you would give to her right now?
I actually wrote that down because you told me about the questions before it. And I think that's very important. First of all, don't listen to all the horny dudes on Instagram trying to give you the ultimate planche tips. Because this is what happens.
You need to squeeze the glutes.
No, they don't even say they that. Because see. Nobody knows that, you know?
Exactly.
Nobody knows
that. That would be actually a very valuable advice. No, because there are so many dudes out there that just want to give you advice and be your trainer because they're like the fact that you are a girl doing calisthenics. Second actually works pretty well with the first one. There will be many guys that want to coach you, but 90% have no clue about coaching and in fact just have a crush on you.
Yeah.
It's same story. And no matter with who of the other calisthenics girls I talk, we all experience that. All of them.
Yeah.
There are just not many of us. Maybe that's the reason.
Senior gets a lot of these messages too.
It's so creepy.
Fucking hell.
I recently started blocking so many people because it's just creepy. You don't want that.
It's just the bad side.
Bad side of social media.
What's number three?
Number three is quite interesting. If you want to be respected and viewed as a strong woman, don't aim at being sexy just for Instagram. You're not an athlete then. In general, don't work out for Instagram, but for your own personal benefit.
I
very
like
beautiful.
That.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like it too.
And the fourth one is yes, you can.
I would have asked you to tell us for beginners and for advanced girls, but I think these tips were
for
everyone.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's for all of them. Because it's basically, it's always the same. Just take your time. Don't listen to all the people. Rather find one person you can rely on.
Yeah.
Maybe, it's always good to get a second opinion, but from a good resource, as they would say at a university.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. And I get really sick. Actually, that's the third point I was speaking of these girls that use calisthenics to let's just put it as it is, sex sells.
Yeah.
This is something that really makes me sick, that makes me super angry, because it pushes the sport in a very, very wrong light. And through this, actually the whole thing about being strong and self-confident gets lost.
Yeah.
Because this is just about, well, I mean, you're strong and that's why you have a good body and that's why you start showing it off in a way that you just get likes.
Mm-hmm.
You should never do a sport just for likes.
Mm-hmm.
You should never learn a skill just to be famous. You should do it because you love it and because it makes you feel good and because it makes you feel happy. You should also not do it just to win. You should do it because it's good for you.
Yeah.
And many people forget that. Even I sometimes, like, before competitions, I put so much pressure on myself that I feel like I'm losing the fascination of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important. There's one movie, it's called The Peaceful Warrior. If you have time.
I love that one.
You saw it?
I love that.
It deals exactly
guy.
With that topic. It's my absolute favorite movie because it's exactly about doing what you love, doing it focused and not only with a goal to impress people or be the best. And this is very hard if you're dedicated and ambitious and always want to go on 100%, which I'm definitely. I'm always going for 100%. I always want to be on the top. But you always have to still stand with both feet on your ground and just, like, understand why you're actually doing this. That's so important.
Mm-hmm. Would you have a tip for those? I mean, if you're a girl and you're interested in calisthenics, or you're already doing it, that stuff, what would be a good tip for those to get really a good source of knowledge?
You mean of skill knowledge? I would say get yourself a good coach. Like, do some research on, like, look at the good people in the scene. Look at the people that can do a lot and that are not 16-year-old testosterone guys.
Yeah.
Because these won't really help you. But look at people that went the hard way but succeeded in the end.
Uh-huh.
It's like with entrepreneurs. Look at those that fell down.
Yeah.
Quite a few times, but figured it out somehow. I believe the people that made the most mistakes are the ones that know it the best.
Yeah.
They might not be on place number one worldwide because there are people that just learned it faster, but they will be the one that understood it the best and the ones that can promote it the best because they fell often enough. And I think this goes for girls as for guys.
Yeah.
It's something I always tell the people when I get the message so often on Instagram, how did you learn X, Y, Z? How did you get so strong? How did you blah, blah, blah? It's always the same. And I always tell them, figure it out. Figure out somebody who can really help you and who knows what he talks about. And who doesn't only claim that he's good in doing this because he's good in performance skills.
Because what I see very often is, I think it's very hard for the people to choose the right person because everybody will tell you, yeah, I'm an expert.
Yes, exactly.
How
especially
can they
in a,
see
in
that?
A market that is so only that short in its, like, not that far yet in its development.
Yeah.
We don't even have 10 years of calisthenics
it's,
right now.
Yeah.
Of
that's why I always have to laugh if people say, make calisthenics Olympic now. It's like, dude, we have not even figured out a dominant design for a judging system. Or
yeah.
It's ridiculous if people say that. We're just about to figure it out and it's super interesting. I love that. But yeah, as you say, you like everybody claims to be an expert, but nobody really is, or only a few really are.
Yeah.
And I would just go for the people that have the reputation to be good in doing that. And the second important thing is to take it slow. No fasting calisthenics.
Mm-hmm.
Can't repeat it often enough. Just take your time. It's okay to walk at your pace.
I think that's something I always tell the people.
Yes, you do that very well.
Look at those coaches and look at the results they produce.
Yes.
I think that's mostly
it
the best.
For them.
That's it. If you look at these online coaches and they're telling you, yeah, you're going to get this, blah, 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 blah.
It's so unpersonal.
Look at those. Look at their testimonials.
Yes.
See how their athletes grow. And if they don't have testimonials, they probably don't have clients. And
yeah, it's as easy as it is.
If you produce good results, then you're probably a good coach.
You know what you're doing.
Exactly.
And it's not about one result. Because one shiny object can everybody have, but look at how many.
Proper statistics.
look especially at people that started where you were. Because like,
yeah.
Often you have athletes and like you train, like we trained Manuel Caruso and Alessandro Conti, but they started at a point where, especially Conti not, but Caruso was already an elite athlete, you know, and then you can go around and say, yeah, well, I'm training this dude, but that doesn't mean anything because he's like a genetic, like you can tell him whatever you want, he's gonna do it.
You didn't make him a machine.
Yeah. Look at the people who like started from the scrap and now can do something. And if you have people like that, then
that's really interesting.
Especially if you look at yourself and you're searching for a coach, like write the people that are getting coached, write how it is, how the coaching is, and so on. Like,
talk to those who are in there.
Yeah.
Who can really tell you what's going on. Like you just did it about the training with Dennis.
Yes. Promoting it often as I can.
I really
value it. So it was the best decision I made since I started calisthenics.
That's perfect. And one next question. I think that's pretty interesting. I saw you doing a lot of strength training next to the skill stuff and the dynamics. Would you say the strength training helped you a lot on just
dynamics?
on dynamics or skills and all that stuff?
Well, it certainly helps me for statics a lot. For dynamics, it helps me in a sense that it helps me to be safer in general.
Yeah.
Because my muscles and like the whole structure
yeah.
is built for more.
Yeah.
But what my huge problem is actually the combination of dynamics and statics, if you don't have 5 hours of time, is really, really hard.
Yeah.
If you want to progress in statics as a girl, you have to work, in my opinion, a lot more and harder than most guys have to.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just something I observe. I think it just takes longer.
It is also because that's a genetically thing.
Yeah, that's what I guessed. No evidence here.
It's already proven girls have less muscles in the upper body.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what I want to say. And fat distribution is often a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's around the glutes, and having it like around glutes and upper legs, for example,
not really
yeah.
helpful.
Is for everything that's a lever, that's not that great.
Yeah, because
you put it very nice.
you just have mass on the wrong side of
the lever.
I mean,
the lever in the end.
Yeah.
If you would have had it on the shoulders,
yeah,
it would help you more.
So this is what I mean. Like, I think to progress in statics as a girl is harder than to progress in dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
You also see that when you look at gymnastics, most gymnasts, female gymnasts, they're all doing a lot of dynamic acrobatic
yeah.
stuff, but not a lot of static stuff. That's why I also consider myself as a very rare example of the scene, actually. I
mm-hmm.
don't know many girls that focus mostly on statics. And it's really hard to combine that with dynamics, because dynamics also take a lot of time, and I would need a lot more explosive strength. I used to have that a lot when I was doing gymnastics, and I'm still using a lot of the rest of this.
I've seen your muscle ups. I think I work pretty well.
Thank you.
I think that's coming back.
But it's like more the swingy stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You need so much energy to do
yeah.
to figure out how these things work. And I had a period where I tried to find a dynamics coach, and actually Dan Rosenberg was helping me a lot. But he's very busy and I don't want to occupy his time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he said he doesn't really want payment from me for that, because he's like, we're friends. And I was like, well, I would pay you, I just want to have a fixed schedule and that kind of stuff, because that's very important for me. But now at the moment I'm again like trying to figure it more out again on my own, and I'm really like, dynamics gives me probably the most headache at the worst time in my training, because it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
I'm used to progressing in statics. Even if I sometimes stagnate a little bit, I know it's gonna work out again, because we're just gonna like screw it a little bit differently and then it's gonna work.
And it's more plannable.
And with dynamics, I miss what I had in gymnastics. Like that person like pushing me just a little bit at some point of the movement in a direction.
Mm-hmm.
Standing next to me screaming, now Iris, and I know, okay, now I have to like push my legs. It's in dynamics, everything works so much faster.
Yeah.
Which makes it extremely hard. That's why I would never say dynamics are easier than statics, or the other way around, because it's just completely different. And whoever tries to compare them directly, in my opinion, has no clue about it.
She's looking at me right now. You can't see that, but
it's just two completely different things, and you can't compare that. It's like if you would compare swimming and running. Well, there's even more parallels between that than. Yeah, it's literally like that. So
people
often don't see that. And for me, I know good burning gait is different. There you can actually target the statics. But if you look at most other competitions, especially in the girls' area, the girl with the best dynamics will win.
Always.
And this
is
really frustrating, actually. because you can work really hard on it, your aesthetics. I mean, I think I don't know how much it is in total, but I believe it's at least 10 hours a week that I spend only on training aesthetics.
Yeah.
Maybe even more. Don't really count it that much, but knowing that this will actually never really bring you to the top is a bit frustrating. But, you know, for me, I already said it before, I'm doing it for myself.
Yeah.
And of course I love winning. I love being on the...
Who doesn't?
I love being on the podium, and it's super, super important for me as well. But if I would have to choose, I think I would go for the aesthetics. If I would not have an option, I would go for the aesthetics, because I also think it's more long-lasting. If you work consistently and especially smart, and your joints and everything is really prepared and conditioned and all that, you will be able to do that for a very, very long time.
Yes.
With dynamics, it's a lot harder to keep up that level. That's why I understand why kids go for the dynamics. It makes totally sense to me, because this is the age where you learn quickly, you don't injure yourself that easily.
And you have less fear.
Exactly. And you have less fear. Yeah, that's the biggest point, especially for girls. Like with girls, it, like fear just goes up the older you get.
And it's for boys, it's the same.
Yeah, but I feel like for girls, it's. I remember in gymnastics, it was that point when we all turned kind of 14-ish, someone around that age. Suddenly all of them had were scared of the beam, the balance beam, the high one.
Crazy.
And before that, nobody cared. So it was like the point was with 14, and for the guys, it was someone with 21. That's a huge difference.
Definitely. Mm.
So that's why I would also say I really admire the girls that are good in dynamics, because you need fucking balls. And I really want to improve them. I want to work more on them. But I'm still trying to figure it out how to
fit it in the scheme. And she has to fight with the coach.
And I have to fight with the coach. He's not a really big fan of dynamics. That's true. But if I want to like do other competitions, then Burning Gate as well. Like, I don't want to overcompete, but I don't know, like, 3, maybe 4 competitions a year would be nice. I would like to do that.
That's already a lot.
Yeah, 3 to 4, so.
But it's, yeah, it's what I did in gymnastics, actually. It was in a season always, so I would, like, try to put it somewhere, stuff together.
Yeah.
And use the rest of the time to progress, because that's very important.
To recover and progress.
Exactly.
I like that. It is...
Where do we can find some information about you?
Basically on Instagram. My Instagram tag is iris_easy.
Perfect.
Lately I also started using TikTok a little bit, because it's said to be one of the big trends of 2020 for social media.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes, and it's really an interesting platform to market calisthenics, especially because there are many kids.
Mm-hmm.
I use the same tag there, by the way, but don't have a lot of reach there yet, so I think if you want to
give her a follow.
I don't even know how many followers I have on TikTok, but it's below 100.
Let's blow this up.
I just use it actually for fun, and I tried it out for World of Bar Heroes, so I had more of a market research background actually. And yeah, so mainly I post a lot of personal stuff on Instagram, and also use it more as a blogging function. I like to share especially my opinion on the calisthenics market. As I study business, this is very interesting for me to watch the movement. So if you're interested in an innovative market and like just a new market and new things coming up, I think you would like my page.
Perfect. So if you're a girl and you're listening to this...
Oh, yes. And of course, if you want to get motivation as a girl, I totally forgot that.
You better give yours a follow. And if you're interested in competing, you should also contact Iris.
Oh, yes, definitely. Boys and girls, write me.
Yep. And you better be friendly and don't call her bro.
No, I'm fine with bro as well.
Broina.
It just makes me laugh very hard every time we get a message in World of Bar Heroes where people write me, "Yo, bro, how can I sign up?" And then I send them a voice message and suddenly I get hearts back and that kind of stuff. It's pretty sweet, actually.
All right. I think that's the end of it.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
That was awesome. All right.